Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. That's pretty straightforward, right? Let's keep going. In this, the love of God was made manifest or revealed among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we've loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. I love how that section ends, but that'll be next week. So a few things here. I'm going to give you kind of a big overview of this whole passage, but again, we're only going to answer the first question tonight because of time. I just know we won't have time to get through all of it. So John begins this section, 1 John 4, 7-12, with the call, we can even say the command, to love. Christians should love other Christians, right? So John starts with the call addressed to the church to love, namely fellow believers. But then he gives the reason. Because, you know, again, if someone says, hey, do this, you know, well, why? Now, kids shouldn't ask that of their parents. You know, mom and dad, hey, I need you to go clean up your room. We don't say why. But I think it's okay to ask sometimes, like, if I'm going to do this, but what's the reason, right? And so God in his grace says, hey, do this. And we as Christians should say, yes, sir. Yes, Lord. Yes, Master. Because of his authority. But he graciously shows us why we should do this, the reason. So that's the next thing we see in our passage. So the command to love, right? Verse 7, followed by the reason, which is why. Next, we have the way. How do we love? Okay, so if I said, hey, love that person, well, how do I do that? In what way? God graciously doesn't just tell us why we should love each other. He tells us the way. I'm going to show you how to do it. That's really cool, okay? Then the context is the next thing we see in our passage. Where is this love to take place? Daniel, go love. You might say, well, where? Where do I go to do that? So John gives us the context where this love is to be acted out. And then finally, the result of love, the what. So the call to love, and here are the questions that are answered for us in verses 7 to 12. Why, how, where, and what? Isn't that great? That's so helpful. Okay. How does John begin our passage? It's the call to love, addressed by God to his church, his people. All right, so verse 7, beloved, let us love one another. And if you recall, I provided you with the definition of love back in 1 John 3:16. Here's what love means in John. Here's what love means in the Bible. To love is to voluntarily and sacrificially pursue the good of others for the glory of God. Okay? One more time. To love is to voluntarily and sacrificially pursue the good of others for the glory of God, right? Now, I talked about this last week, and then whenever we got together before that, whenever John begins a section with beloved, that's really significant. So he's doing two things, okay? When he uses the word beloved to address the church, there's a dual purpose. First, it's a term of endearment, right? He really means it. I love you, church. It's a way for John to kind of convey his fatherly love for these spiritual children, right? I value you. I prize you, beloved. I care about you. Second, though, it occurs throughout 1 John at key junctures to introduce weighty statements of fact, okay? It's used to introduce commands of great significance. John is saying, I love you. Listen up. What I'm about to say is really important. I love you and I care about you, so listen up. Are you ready? Get this. Don't miss it, okay? John simply begins by saying something. If you've been here in this study in 1 John, I mean, this command to love, how many times have we heard it? I mean, every week. John, it's one of the main themes in 1 John. It's the call to love, right? So how many times does John command the church to love each other? A ton. Why do you think God's people need to be reminded of this so often. Because we don't always do it well, do we? It's not in our nature. Yeah. And even believers with new hearts, we still struggle with this, don't we? So we need to be reminded. Aren't you thankful for the reminders of Scripture? I mean, God didn't have to do that. He didn't owe us that. What grace that He would remind us of such important things. And this is important, that we love each other. And you're going to see why tonight. That's the why question. Well, let me give you some examples in 1 John where John calls the church to love. All right? Now, again, should we love the lost? Yes, but specifically, when John says to love, he's calling Christians in the church to love other Christians in the church, right? This is brotherly love between believers. That's the focus of 1 John. So, can I give you all these? Oh, yeah, I gave you a bunch of these. You can go back and read these tonight if you want to, but just listen at this point, or you can follow along. 1 John 2:10, whoever loves his brother abides in the light. So those who abide in the light are those who what? They love their brothers. And again, brother is another term for a believer, right? This is language that Paul uses and John uses to describe another Christian, right? Christian brother. And in him there's no cause for stumbling. All right, 1 John 3:10, by this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Okay, so what is the evidence that you belong to God? Love. He says, whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. All right, so if you're not loving your brother, what is John saying? You're demonstrating that you're not a child of God. Whoa, that's heavy. You thought, okay, Chris, two examples is probably enough. I'm going to keep going. Because we need these reminders, don't we? 1 John 3:11. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. 1 John 3:14. I mean, he's not even getting like just a few verses ahead, and already we went from verse 10 to verse 11. Now we're going to verse 14 of chapter 3. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. We know that we're spiritually alive by our love. Whoever does not love abides in death. So if you're not loving your fellow believers, John is saying that's evidence that you're still spiritually dead. 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers, which is another way of saying we love. We ought to love. And that's where we got that definition, right? Love is to voluntarily and sacrificially do good to others for, not personal recognition, but for the glory of God. And that's what separates the world loving versus Christians loving. The world, you might say, well, Chris, I mean, I know people who love, but at the end of the day, when the world loves, they do it because it makes them feel good. They do it because it makes them look good. The difference between Christians and the world loving, Christians love because it makes God look good. Amen? All right. A few more, please. Bear with me. Humor me here. We need these reminders. I need them. We need them. 1 John 3:18. Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. 1 John 3:23, and this is his commandment. And I love this verse. And this is really important. And I'm going to come back to this here shortly. And this is his commandment, that we believe, he starts with faith, in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another. And that's our verse for tonight. For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. I mean, there you see all the implications of this command in doing it. I mean, it's really significant. Verse 11 of chapter 4, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to. And that goes back to the illustration, the Saving Private Ryan, right? That sacrifice changed Private Ryan. It changed his life, the trajectory of his life, right? The sacrificial love of Jesus applied to us changes us to now love in the same manner that we've been loved. All right, one more. 1 John 4:21. In this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Okay. And man, that's it goes back to that story, the plumber that I talked to last year, right? I said, are you a Christian? Oh, yeah. I love the Lord. Where do you go to church? Oh, man, I don't go to church. I can't stand most Christians. Bro, 1 John 4:21. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. Can we do that? Well, if we're not involved in a local church, who are we going to love? Not who are going to call. Who are you going to love? If you're not involved in a local church, I mean, there's no one to love, right? So, again, if we're going to do this, we need to be a part of a local church. Now, do you think this command to love is important? I mean, there's more I could have read. Maybe you're saying, please don't. I'm convicted. Well, good, I am too, right? We need to be doing this. This is obviously a major theme in 1 John, but again, guys, we have to understand it in context, right? There's an order, and that's why I said I'm going to come back to 1 John 3:23. Now, listen to this. And this is his commandment, that we what? What does he start with? Faith, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. Our love flows out of our faith. It's evidence of our new birth. We aren't saved by our love, but we are saved to love, right? We're saved to love. Now, the emphasis on love is found in the context of new birth. The new birth is mentioned or alluded to in multiple places in 1 John. If you read from 1 John 2:29 to the end of the letter, you're going to see emphasized multiple times this supernatural new birth that God does inside of Christians, right? Where the Spirit, through the preaching of the gospel, gives us life, enabling us to see our sin, at the same time see the beautiful Savior and trust in Him, right? What can the dead do? Nothing. We have to be made alive by the Spirit, regenerated to trust in Jesus and follow Him as King. But when the Spirit does that, what is the evidence that you've been regenerated or born again or born new? You're going to love. Those who have been born again love. This is the primary evidence for the new birth in 1 John, right? So again, the new birth refers to the Spirit's supernatural work whereby He gives us life through the preaching of the gospel so that we can believe in Jesus and trust in Him, right? We were dead, now we're alive. But those who are alive, what do? They love. All right, let's come back to 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another. Okay, so after issuing forth the command to love one another, John provides his readers with multiple reasons for this paramount command. And again, let us not forget that one another refers to who? Other believers, right? So God is calling those within the church to love those within the church. He's calling God's children to love God's children. All right, what is the reason for the command to love one another provided by John? So this is the question we're answering tonight. Why? The reason for our love. I think that's the only fill in the blank I have for you. I'm sorry. So you can write your own notes tonight. all right. Here's the reason. Why love? For love is from God. Why should we love each other? Because it comes from God. And if it comes from God, it's what? What is it? It's good. It's good, right? God is the source of love. Now, follow the logic here. If love is from God, then those who love one another in the church give evidence that they too are from God. And this is seen in the very next line. For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God. I feel like the worst word you can use in a Bible study in the evening to make tired people fall asleep is logic. So again, pardon me. But again, just follow his line of reasoning, right? Why should we love each other? Love is from God. And whoever loves has been what? Born of God. What we've learned in 1 John is that the new birth, again, the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit to regenerate the spiritually dead. We call that conversion. Also comes from who? Yeah, it comes from God, right? So love comes from God, but the new birth also comes from God. He's the source. God is the source of the new birth. He's also the source of love. Love comes from God. The new birth comes from God. Therefore, those who love show that they too are from God, the recipients of his work of divine grace. They've been born again. You know, I love this quote by John Piper. It's short, but listen, it's packed, okay? He says, regeneration, the new birth, being born again, unites spiritually dead, selfish hearts with God's living, loving heart so that his life becomes our life and his love our love. Ooh, that's good. Again, the good news of the gospel is that we get both forgiveness and transformation, a new nature. We have access to Christ and his power to live differently, to love differently. Amen? When you and me are literally plugged into Christ, united to the living Savior, we now have access to his power to love differently. To love like who? To love like Jesus. What we consistently see in 1 John is that God is concerned with both right doctrine, which is right beliefs, but also right living. Does it matter what we believe as Christians? Does it matter how we live as Christians? Are both important? And both are evidence of what? The new birth, right? So recently, I think this was last week or 3 weeks ago, in 1 John 4:2, because we broke that in half as well, right? In 1 John 4:2, we saw that every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from who? It's from God. That's the ektoutheia. We looked at that Greek phrase. What is it called? Spam risk. I never get those. Man, I usually turn my phone off. I could just put it on speaker. Yeah. But then you guys might get this like telemarketer spiel and you're like distracted. So let me just put on do this. I'm sorry. Yeah. We learn that every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. So right confession of Jesus is evidence that one is of God. You've been born of God. You've been born again. You belong to God. You're a child of God. You've been regenerated or what? Born anew. Here in 1 John 4:7, we see it is those who love who give evidence that they've been born again. So let me step back. John is saying when we have right belief, it's evidence that we've been born again. When we have right love, it is evidence that we've been born again. Now, are we born again by loving? Are we born again by having all the right doctrines? Well, the first one we have to have, faith in Jesus that he lived, died, and rose again. Right, but what saves us is who? It's Christ. We look to Christ. And those who have looked to Christ have been born again, and they'll be marked by right belief and right love. Right. So faith and love, right doctrine and right doing are both evidence of the new birth by the Spirit. So ask yourself today, do I have right beliefs about Jesus? Do I believe the right things about Jesus? And secondly, is my life marked by a Christ-like love for others? And if you can't say yes to those things, then what would John say? You're not born of God. You're not born of God. Is John saying you have to know everything perfectly? No, man, when I got saved, I knew this much. I knew that I was a sinner and that Jesus was the Savior and I trusted in him, okay? Do you think I love perfectly? No, ask my wife. Do I love perfectly? No, thank you, sweet. Being honest, I don't. Am I still a believer? Yeah, I'm growing in those things, right? I'm growing in those things. By who? By the Spirit. All right, the next line is this. So again, why should we love? For love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God. And the next phrase, and whoever loves knows God. Whoever loves knows God. Now, to know God here refers to an experiential knowledge. It's a relational knowledge. I don't just know about God. I actually know him, right? I know him. John is saying those who love one another in the church, like Jesus, demonstrate that they have a real relationship with God. Again, many may claim to know about God, but those who truly know God relationally demonstrate that relationship by their love for fellow what? Fellow believers. Now, John uses the present tense for both the verb to love and the verb to know. And the present tense in Greek denotes what kind of action? It's ongoing, right? So we continue to grow in our knowledge of God. And as we do, we continue to grow in our love. So knowing God and loving one another are, for the believer, ongoing. They're ongoing. Our ongoing love for one another is evidence of ongoing growth in our relationship with God. The more we know, the more we grow. The more we know God, the more we grow in our love for other believers. Would you guys agree that relationships have the power to transform us? Well, if you're a Christian, you better say, well, of course, yes. I had a roommate in college. I think I've shared the story before. His name was Kevin Easter. He's not dead. His name is Kevin Easter. But I said was because he's no longer my roommate. I have a new roommate, my wife, Haley. But, and now Sam, who for some reason about midnight every night, we wake up and she's in our bed now. She's just, maybe it's a phase. I don't know. I love it though. It's so sweet. Anyway, except when she like puts her feet right on my face. That's not sweet at all. I had a roommate in college. He was from Africa. He was a missionary kid. His name's Kevin Easter. And man, Kevin, when he came to the States, because he grew up in Africa, he just didn't really know our culture, right? And I love this kid. Man, we became really close. I took him to church every week. I did life with Kevin. And I was 2 years his senior. And so I was older. I was working. I was a youth pastor at the time. Kevin followed me everywhere. He just like attached himself to me. And very quickly, after about a semester, he began to adopt my mannerisms. He even started saying the same types of things I say. Our relationship began to what? It began to transform him. And so much so. And I spoke against this. I got into people's face. I said, you got to stop saying this. It's bothered him. People started calling him CJ, Chris Jr. And he hated it. And he was in denial because I was like, Kevin, bro, you know, you're a cool dude, man. Like, be Kevin. Like, you know, but because we spent so much time together, he began to look like me. And that was just kind of funny. And again, as parents, we know that. I mean, we see that with our kids, right? I mean, you know, sons want to look like their dads and dress like their dads and work out with their dads. But the point is this. As we grow in our relationship with God through, again, ongoing exposure to his word, time in prayer, and gathering with the church, what's going to happen? We're going to be conformed more and more to his son. Amen? And what does the son do? What does he do? 1 John 3:16, what does he do? He loves. He loves. Here's the point. The key to growing in our love for one another is growing in our relationship with the Lord. Amen? There it is. Do you want to love more? What should you do? Spend more time with the Lord. Because you'll look like him more, right? I mean, the more time you spend with Jesus, the more you're going to look like Jesus. And what does Jesus do? He loves. He loves. Again, the evidence of a relationship with the God of the universe is Christ-like love for others. The evidence that one has been born again, transformed by the grace of God, is love for one another. Again, our love for one another flows out of the reality of our new birth. It's what the transforming work of the Spirit produces in God's people. Again, John makes this point even more clear in verse 8. And this is, I mean, it's so clear. Anyone who does not love does not know God. What does that mean? Anyone who doesn't love their fellow believer obviously doesn't know God, because God is what? God is love. I mean, it makes sense, right? It's like someone saying, oh, guys, listen, I'm the biggest Dallas Cowboy fan in the world. Well, Chris, what do you know about the Cowboys? The who? The Cowboys. Oh, not much, man. Who's their quarterback? Oh, Brett Favre, I think. He's retired, Chris. Do you have any, like, Cowboys clothes? Like a jersey or, like, a sticker on your truck? I really don't. I mean, is there any evidence that I'm a Cowboy? I know nothing about them. I don't spend any time with the team, following the team. How can I say I'm a Cowboys fan? Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. If you know God, if you spend time with God, it's going to be evident in the way you what? You love. You love. If you're a Cowboys, if I'm truly a Cowboys fan, you're going to know it on Sundays, right? I mean, you're going to, when they win, I'm going to get excited. When they lose, I'm going to be bummed out. Does that make sense? Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. That's an incredible statement. But John is, he's very to the point, right? He's very to the point. If love is absent, if you don't love your fellow Christian believers, then you don't know God. Evidence is lacking. Why is this? On the basis of what does John make this incredible statement? Because God is love. Now, what does that mean, God is love? What does that mean, God is love? Love is part of God's nature. It's his character. When God loves, he is acting in accordance with his nature. When we love, what are we doing? We're acting in accordance with our new nature, which comes from God. God's kids love. If you're a child of God, what are you going to do? You're going to love, man. Again, I alluded to this earlier, but children typically resemble their parents, right? They might have the same jawline, the same eyes, the same hair color, right? These facial features are evidence that the younger belongs to the older. The son belongs to the father. So the question is, do you resemble the father? Do you resemble the father? John's whole point is that God's children resemble the father, especially in their what? In their love. And this takes us all the way back to where? Genesis. It goes all the way back to Genesis, right? We were made to resemble God. That's what it means to be made in his image. We were made to resemble God, namely his character. This is what it means to be an image bearer. Recall Jesus' words in Matthew 5:48. You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. God's character, his nature, is revealed in his what? In his word. Now, because of sin, we can't obey God's word. Man, that's a bummer, right? Because of sin, we can't obey God's word. We aren't able to bring our lives in line with God's word. But there's a solution. What's the solution? The gospel, the Son, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Now, in God's new covenant promises in the Old Testament, this is like the promise, the solution. I mean, if you look at the major prophets, they're constantly diagnosing the problem with Israel. Your hearts are hard. You're stiff-necked. God's given you his law, and you just don't want to do it, right? You're the problem. What do they need? What do we need? A new what? A new heart. And if you study those new covenant promises, right? God, we'll call them God's solution to the sin problem promises. God promises to write his law on our hearts, to give us new hearts, to forgive and to place his Holy Spirit within his people. All of this becomes a reality through faith in Jesus Christ. Again, the gospel is all about uniting us to the Savior and working his character into our hearts and lives by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? I love the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Now listen carefully. Who does this sound like? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Man, that sounds a lot like Jesus. I mean, he did those things perfectly. God gives us the Spirit so that we look like Jesus. And what's the first one? Love. Love. The fruit of who? Who does this describe? Right? This is God's character personified in Jesus. The Spirit works to produce God's character in us. Who is love? God is love. It's his nature. God gives us a new nature so that we can do what? Starts with love, ends with love. So we can love. We're almost done. I got 6 minutes. Recall Paul's prayer. And Kobe just taught this, I think 2 weeks ago to our youth. Philippians 1:9-11. This is Paul's prayer for the church in Philippi. Paul says, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more. Now, again, does Paul want our love for God to abound more and more? Yes, but here he's referring to what love? Love for fellow believers, right? Paul says, it's my prayer for you, church, that your love would grow, abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the praise or to the glory of God. All right, so pay careful attention to verse 11. Righteous living comes through Jesus Christ being in him. Think of Philippians 2, 12 and 13, right? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. God is at work in us, creating new desires, Godward desires. So the gospel restores our creative purpose to reflect and bear the image of God. Amen? 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So we were made, think about this, we were made in the image of the triune God who has existed forever in perfect fellowship as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And because we're made in the image of a triune God, we too long for what? Fellowship. And only through faith in Christ and being reconciled to the people of God are we able to love in community in such a way that reflects the love that exists in the Father, Son, and Spirit. So again, God's triune love, which is a communal love, is to be seen where? In the church. Think about electricity, but don't play with it. But think about it. In order for most devices in your home to work, they must be plugged into the power source, right? If they're not plugged in, what are they going to do? Nothing, right? They're dead. Marianne Thompson writes, like the electricity running through electrical wires, love comes from God to us, then flows, this is good, then flows through us to others in the community, right? The church community. So when we're united to Christ by faith, we are now connected to the power source, Christ. We can now love like Christ because we're united to Christ. We have access to his power. 1 John 3:9, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he's been born of God. Why can the Christian love now? Because he or she has been born of God. They have a new nature and the Spirit of God now living inside of them. Write down Romans 8, 10 to 11. I don't have time to read it. Yeah, I do. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now dwells within the people of God, empowering us to live like who? Christ, which is seen in our love. Now, we spent a lot of time over the past few weeks talking about what this love might look like in the church. Let's go back to that. What does this Christ-like love look like in the church at Kelties? Well, very simply, if there's someone in the church, and we're going to be doing some discipleship stuff coming up at the end of April. If someone says, Chris, I'm a new believer. Man, I don't know how to read my Bible. No one ever taught me. I know what Chris will say. Go talk to Pastor Aaron. No, he won't. He'll say, let's go, man. Oh, Chris, but you're busy. But listen, it's a sacrifice, right? But it's a good use of my time. And the way you can love that new brother is by saying, hey, let's get together for an hour a week and start studying maybe Mark or John or 1 John, and I'll teach you how to read God's word, and we'll pray together, and I got you. I'm going to come alongside you. Man, how cool is that? Maybe, man, listen, I'm down. I just had surgery. My wife's taking care of kids. I'm saying this because this recently happened to us. Can we bring you guys some meals? And my wife said, come on, right? And several families for a few weeks brought us meals. Man, that was love. Thank you guys for that. Again, right? Those are a few examples. Here's John's logic, and then I'll pray. Those who belong to God, who know him have been born again, right? Those who belong to God, who know him, who have been born again, display God's character, his nature, as seen in their love for one another. John Stott put it this way. It's a great quote by John Stott. He says, if we don't manifest the nature of him who saved us, can we truly say that we know him? Whoa. If we don't manifest the nature of him who saved us, can we truly say that we know him? Or think of it this way. Love comes from God. The new birth comes from God. Therefore, those who have the new birth should love. And they can. And they can. By the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, I pray that none of us would grow tired of hearing this message, this call to love. It's so important because it comes from you. And it's only by you that we can love. But remind us that when we love like you, Jesus, it shows the world that we belong to you. It shows the world who we belong to. That when we love like you, Jesus, it gives evidence that we've been born again by the Spirit. And when we love like you, our fellow believers, it points them to Christ. It reminds them of the gospel. And it shows the watching world the power of the gospel to change lives. Father, I pray that you would give each of us opportunities this week to love our fellow believers. I pray that we'd be willing to be uncomfortable, that we'd be willing to give of our time and our energy and even our resources to come alongside fellow believers and to do good to them for your glory. Father, help us to love like the King and for the glory of the King. And we pray these things in the King's mighty name, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.